Don't forget your mouth is supposed to be open and you're supposed to be singing. Giddy bada ma. Let's do that one again. Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sri Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopinath Chamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Mathura Dham Ki Jai. Navadweep Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Swami Ki Jai. Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai. Ganga Mayi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Sama Veda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Do you know that there's devotees here that you can't see? One time Srila Prabhupada said that. He said that, yes, who's here that you can't see? Krishna, well, there he is. If you look that way, you can see him. Narada comes. And sometimes, you know who else comes? The sages, when they were at the Naimisharanya forest, they invited Yamaraj to come. They invited Yamaraj to come and hear. So the sages say that Yamaraj comes to hear all the katha. So, Hare Krishna. And one time in London, at the London Ratha Yatra, or actually, I can't remember exactly what the situation was, but something that there wasn't a lot of devotees at. It wasn't the Ratha Yatra, sorry. But anyway, and then devotees apologized to Prabhupada. Oh, Prabhupada, I'm sorry, not so many people came. He said, didn't you see? Didn't you see? Lord Brahma was here. Narada was here. But you couldn't see. So, just keep that in mind, okay? Hare Krishna. So we're reading today from the third canto, chapter 8. And this is a really, really philosophical chapter, but fortunately we have a nectar verse that's easy to comprehend today. Krishna's very kind. So this chapter is called Manifestation of Brahma from Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And we're on text 19. Yeah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Can we say this together? Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirayet Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tumasloke Bhaktir Bhagati Naishtiki. Now, I always notice that the translation isn't as strongly voiced as the Sanskrit verse, so it's good to brush up on what the translation means. Before reciting, if you know it, you can say it with me. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and we'd like to add, and to Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator, by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees. What happens? All that's troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead is established as a fact that can't be ever taken away from you. Hare Krishna. So do text 19. We'll attempt it. But Omaginati Mirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Taku Unikam Jaina Tasmai Sri Guravena Maha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly forced me to open my eyes. So I'm indebted to him, and I beg for service life after life, and it's going to take me a lot of lives. It's going to take me forever. It's going to take me, I'm never going to be able to repay Srila Prabhupada for just his mercy to me. What to speak of everybody who receives his mercy. Hare Krishna. Okay, text 19. There's one word here that's going to be repeated a lot, and that's nala. Nala means the stem of the lotus flower, okay? Sa itam udviksha tad abjanala.
Sa itam udviksha tad abjanala.
Nadi bir antar jalam avivesha.
Nadi bir antar jalam avivesha.
Nadi bir antar jalam avivesha.
Narvag gatas tat karanala nala. Narvag gatas Kara na vag gatas tat karanala nala.
Nabin vichin vams tad avinda tadja.
Nabin vichin vams tad avinda tadja.
Sa itam udviksha tad abjanala.
Nadi bir antar jalam avivesha.
Narvag gatas tat karanala nala.
Nabhim vichin dvams tad avin da tad jaha.
Please chant.
Narvagatasat karanala nala.
Nabhim vichin vams tad avinda dacha.
Saitam udviksha tad abjanala.
Nadi bir antar jalam avivesha.
Narvagatas tat karanala nala.
Narvagatas tat karanala nala. Students?
Sa'itam udvig shatal abjanala.
Nadi birantar jalam avivesha.
Narbhagatasta karanala nala.
Nabim vichim vamsad avindatakta. Sad itam udviksha tad abjanala.
Nadir virantar jalam avivesha.
Nabhin vichin vam sad avinda jataha. Very good, thank you. Saha.
Saha.
He, Brahma.
He, Brahma.
Itam. In this way.
In this way.
Udviksha.
Udviksha.
Contemplating.
Contemplating.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Abja.
Abja.
Lotus.
Lotus.
Nala.
Nala.
Stem.
Nadibi.
By the pipe.
Antajalam,
within the water.
Avivesha,
entered into.
Na,
not.
Avakgata,
in spite of going inside.
Tatkaranala,
the stem of the lotus.
Nala,
pipe.
Nabhim,
of the navel.
Vichinvan,
thinking much of it.
Tat,
that.
Avindata,
understood.
Aja,
the self born.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
So this is explaining a little bit about Lord Brahma's perplexity. What does perplexity mean? Yes.
Confused.
Very good. Thanks. Yeah, he was thinking. He couldn't figure it out. So this is going to talk about what's on his mind. Okay. So Lord Brahma, thus contemplating, entered the water through the channel of the stem of the lotus. So what's the Sanskrit word for the stem of the lotus?
Nala.
Nala, that pipe, and that's what he Prabhupada refers to when he talks about the pipe. He entered within that pipe. The pipes are hollow, right? So the stem is hollow. So Lord Brahma sitting on top of the lotus flower, and the lotus flower is swaying back and forth due to the winds of devastation. And Lord Brahma comes to consciousness and he's thinking, who am I? What am I doing here? What's going on here? What should I do? He's trying to figure it out. So now I'm going to start again. Lord Brahma, thus contemplating, entered the water through the channel of the stem of the lotus. So what he's trying to do is figure out what's the source of this lotus flower. What's the source? So he figures he's looking down, sitting on the lotus flower, right? Sitting on the top there. He's looking down. It's way far down. He can't even see all the way down. But he's thinking, well, the source must be where? Must be down the bottom, right? So let me go down. So he enters into the lotus stem, and I don't know how he did that, but he did, okay? Enters into the lotus stem, and he's trying to figure out where he came from. What's the source? And now, for the third time, I'm going to start the verse. Lord Brahma, thus contemplating, entered the water through the channel of the stem of the lotus. But, in spite of entering the stem and going nearer to the navel of Vishnu, he couldn't trace out the root. He couldn't find the source on his own. Let's see what the purport says. The purport by Srila Prabhupada. By dint of one's personal endeavor, one may go nearer to the Lord. But without the Lord's mercy, one cannot reach the ultimate point. Very simple statement there, isn't it? But it's very profound. It has a lot of meaning to it. One, by dint of one's personal endeavor, one may go nearer to the Lord. But without the Lord's mercy, one cannot reach the ultimate point. Such understanding of the Lord is possible only by dint of only by devotional service. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktyamam Abhijananti Yavanyas Chasmitakvataha. So, again, we'll just recreate the scene. Since you guys only come once a week, it's hard for you to follow the flow of the class. But Lord Brahma was, when he came to consciousness on top of that lotus flower, he's trying to figure out, what's my source? But not, that wasn't his first question. His first question was, who am I and what am I doing here? What am I supposed to do? And then he tried to figure out where did he come from? And so by his endeavor, which is very important, endeavor is very important, by his endeavor he climbs down the lotus flower and figures, he tries to figure it out by logic and reason, right? It's very logical. If I'm sitting up here, the source must be down lower than me, so let me go find the source. So he climbed down the lotus stem inside, but he couldn't find, it was so long, so far from Garbhodaksha that he couldn't find the source. So, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned and the verse mentioned, but in spite of getting closer to the Lord, he didn't get close enough. And let's just take a theoretical position for a few minutes here. And let's just say he climbed down and got to the navel of Lord Vishnu with the lake in the navel. That's a pretty big navel, right, to have a lake in it, right? So then what would he know? He would think that the source is just that lake. So can you understand the point that Prabhupada's making here and the verse is making? What's the point of this verse? What's the meaning behind this verse? Mr. Nardamuni Prabhu?
Like, you can't really do something without Krishna's mercy.
That you can't really do something without Krishna's mercy. So true. Anybody else want to add something to that? Yes, what would you like to say? Yeah, Brahma wasn't alive. Did you say Brahma wasn't alive? Is that what you said? Am I repeating you properly? Okay. You can't do anything without Krishna's mercy, and if Brahma wasn't alive, we wouldn't be alive. True, we wouldn't be manifest in a body, but would still be existing somewhere. But it's okay, you're right. Good point. So what does that mean to you guys? So what are you going to take, what's the take-home lesson there? There's got to be a lesson in it. Hold on, we'll try to some other people, but thanks for being alert. What's the take-home lesson there? There's a very important lesson that is being presented here. Sometimes a person might have a big brain, right? And be able to figure things out, like an engineer or this or that, an aerospace dynamic, this guy or that guy, or a computer programmer, this guy or that guy, whatever. They might have big brains and they can figure things out, how it works and this and that. But ultimately, without Krishna's mercy, you're not going to be able to figure out anything. So let's take a few examples. Can you think of an example that would illustrate this point? I'm thinking of one example, but there's probably lots of examples. Something about something very little trying to figure out something very big. And because we're in Florida, here's the Florida hint. Because we're in Florida, we have these creatures crawling over us all the time. Yes, Subhadra.
Dr. Frog.
Okay, that's a good example. That's a different one than I was thinking of, but it's a perfect example. Can you explain it a little bit? Because not everybody knows what Dr. Frog means.
Trying to figure out how big the ocean was, but
Very good, thanks. So Subhadra just gave the complete description of Mr. Frog in the well, Dr. Frog in the well, trying to figure out where he came from on his own. Can't remember your name, but it's okay. What? Can we get the microphone over here, if that's okay? Sorry. Over this way, here. Sorry.
One example could be like these robots or AI.
There we get an example.
Somebody like builds something. It can't do anything without the engineer telling it what it can do. So it needs an engineer to.
It needs a living entity to start the whole thing.
Yeah,
good point. Okay, so one, thank you very much. So one example that I was thinking of ants. You know, Florida ants, there's a lot of them, right? So Florida ants, so the little ants crawling on your arm, and how's he gonna figure out who you are? His vision is so limited, his brain is so limited, and how's he gonna figure out? He's just gonna think, you know, depending on what part of the body you're on, he's just gonna think of that little area. So in other words, what the comparison is here is, yes, we have some intelligence, but our intelligence compared to the Lord's intelligence is completely insignificant. We're not gonna be able to figure out who the Lord is, what his potencies are, what the source of the universe is on our own intelligence. But we need to take help from somebody who knows. Okay, that's one point. And here, and this specifically, Prabhupada says in the purport, the very first line, there's only two sentences practically, by dint of one's personal behavior, one may go nearer to the Lord. Like people can come into the temple room, they can come and see the deities, this and that. And if they're brand new, they might not have any clue what's going on. So they came closer, but their understanding doesn't accommodate understanding that they might get some feeling. I remember when I first went to the temple back in Boston, and everything was so beautiful. And this is what I saw. I saw the dancing devotees in their swaying clothes, and I could smell the incense, and I saw the beautiful vases and the this and the that. And I did not see the deities at all. I didn't see them. I didn't see them. I didn't focus on them. I missed it altogether. It wasn't until later that I could get to see the deities. So it happens. It happens in real life, you know. So similarly, so what Prabhupada's saying here is that Krishna, by his mercy, he is, you know how we say, Krishna's the supreme controller, Prabhu. He is the supreme controller. He's in control of everything. And according to our desire, and according to the desire of the living entity, he's providing everything. He's even providing the intelligence to an atheist. An atheist, a person who doesn't believe in God, is getting their arguments. God can't exist because there's so much suffering in the world. God could, so many things. There's no God. He's getting his intelligence from Krishna. And Krishna's fulfilling the desire. He's fulfilling the desire of the living entity, not only by what he deserves, not only by what he desires, but also what he deserves. But that's a little technical point, but anyway, we won't go there right now. So he's fulfilling the desire. So people who don't want to see God and they want to see something else, Krishna's giving them the intelligence to see that. And for those who do want to see God and try to hear about him and try to do things in order to please the Lord, Krishna's giving them the intelligence, he's giving them the ability, and he's giving them the taste, the happiness that they get from serving the Lord. Thank you very much for your attention, and hopefully the rest of you will continue to pay attention. Any quick questions before yes, Mr. Nalini. Say that again? Remember, yes, was an ant. Oh, look at that. There's an ant here, and it looks like he left his body during the kirtan. Hare Krishna. Thanks. So, The last point, what was the last point that I made before people got up and left? Mercy. Can somebody tell me that point of mercy from the, let's go for the girl's side, because the point of mercy, anybody catch it? Subhadra, can you help them out? We can't do anything without Krishna's mercy. And if we do make an attempt to try to please Krishna, Krishna, by his mercy, he'll give us a taste. He'll give us a taste for continuing to serve him, which is very important. Yes, Subhadra. Malini, go get the microphone. Please, get the microphone from Kanapur. We're sending the microphone over, okay? Hold on. He's going to be the, you're going to be the microphone person, okay? To Subhadra. Those of you whose names I know, those are the ones that I'm going to pick on, sorry. But thank you. Go ahead, Subhadra.
And one of the ways that Krishna, like, if you want to get to know him more and learn about his potency is by, like, bringing, like, a representative of him as the guru to help you, because Srila Prabhupada talks about the an example of, like, the Goloka Express, which is, like, the train. And he says there are two rails on, there's two rails. One is the guru and one is Krishna. And without guru, and if there's no guru and there's Krishna, it doesn't make sense, because then you can't learn about Krishna without the guru. And you can't get the guru without Krishna.
Yeah.
Because Krishna arranges it all for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, nice. Nice point. Thanks, Subhadra. Thanks. Yes, it's such a nice point. And the another point to add to that is that Krishna wants to help the living entities. He wants to help the living entities. Hang in there. Sit down. Thanks. Krishna wants to help the living entities. We might think, oh, like if you just think, how many people, I bet you somebody in this room knows, how many people are on the planet right now? Not you, but, oh yes. 8 million?
8 billion.
8 billion. How many is 8 billion? Can you figure out how many 8 billion? That's a lot, right? Narda? Okay, 8 billion, let's go. We're going there for that, okay? So there's 8 billion people on the planet right now, right? Hang in there. 8 billion people. So if one little teeny person that happens to be sitting in Alachua, you know, makes a little mental prayer, Krishna, please help me. Do you think he hears it? Yeah. He does, because he's got that connection in the heart with every single living entity. So don't think that you're so, the point I'm trying to make is, don't think that we're so insignificant that Krishna is not going to hear our prayer. He does hear our prayer. So make your prayers, offer your prayers, offer your desires, make your intention, fix your mind. Yes, I want to try to make some progress in this lifetime, and Krishna will help. And then keep that, but one thing about making those kind of prayers, it's not sufficient enough to make the prayer, but then you have to open your eyes and open your ears. Now, why would you have to open your eyes and open your ears after your prayer? Hold on, Myra. Anyone else over this side? I'm going to pull in this side, because this side doesn't get picked on as much as this side does. Why would it be, why would you think it would be beneficial to open your eyes and open your ears after you make a prayer? Anyone want to take a venture, a guess from the quiet side? Yes? Teach.
There are signs everywhere, so we have to pay attention to see them.
Yeah, that's okay, thank you. Thank you. Precisely the point. That Krishna's sending us help all along. But if we're not seeing it, then we think it's Krishna's fault we didn't get help? Mm-mm. We have to learn to open our eyes. Want to hear a joke? It's not really a joke. It's a philosophical point, but it's okay. It makes the point. And I hope I didn't say this already, but anyway, you probably forgot it. Okay. Once once there was a flood,
and
you know, sometimes when there's flash floods mean what? It comes really fast, right? And we've had so much severe weather across the states, across the world now, so it's not out of the realm of possibility. So once there was a flood, and there was a man, and the water started rising really fast, so he climbed up to the second floor of his building, because he had a two-story house, because he didn't live in Florida, so he lived on the second story. He climbed up there, and the water kept rising and rising, and they said, you got to evacuate. He said, no, God help me, please help me. And the water kept rising and rising, so he climbed out the window, and he climbed onto the roof, and he's praying, God, please save me. And so a man came by, the rescues came by in a boat, you know, and said, get on here. He said, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. And so they went to deal with other people that they could deal with. And then he said, God, please save me. And then a helicopter came by and lowered a rope and said, grab the rope. And he said, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. And guess what happened?
He died.
And then he went to heaven. And then he went to heaven and he got to the pearly gates, as they say. And he said, God, why didn't you help me? I was praying so sincerely. And he was praying very sincerely. And he said, I sent you the man in the boat. I sent you the helicopter, and you didn't take advantage. So what's the moral of the story there? Here, give it to him. Well, okay, here's the microphone. I forget your name, but anyway.
Krishna comes in many ways.
He comes in many ways. Now, here's a really tough question. I don't. Can you think of some stories from Chaitanya Leela, from Lord Chaitanya's Leela, when something similar happened in Chaitanya Leela, and Lord Chaitanya's associates were in need of help? It's a hard one. Yeah. Chaitanya, okay. Anyway, Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a story of, I always forget who it is, Mukunda, who was being attacked by the Mohammedans, and he went to the river.
Yeah.
Okay. So Lord Chaitanya's associate Mukunda, one time there was an invasion, and the guys came, and they were going to, you know, ransack the town, and it's an unfortunate, but factual circumstance. When people start invading countries, they treat people really badly. They're not, you know, they don't go out of their way to be nice to people. So even if they don't have anything to do with the war, like they're the civilians, they're, you know, plundering them and raping the women, etc., etc., etc. So Mukunda gathered up his family because he was afraid that they were going to attack his family. And he went to the river to try to escape. And because of the situation, there was no boats on the river. There's no way to get across the river. And he's in so much anxiety. And then one lone boat comes by. And he says, if you take me across this river safely, I'll give you my life or whatever. I'll give you a good pay. And so he does. The boatman takes him across the river, and they're safe and happy and this and that. And then after some time passes, and Lord Chaitanya advents in Navadvip, and he's at the house of Srinivasacharya one day. And one day, he's manifesting himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he sits down. You know what he did? Lord Chaitanya did this. He went into the altar room, and he pushed all the Shalagram Shilas aside, gently, not in a bad way, but gently put, and he sat on the altar. Not to be done by you guys, okay? And he sat on the altar and he said, come forward and ask for a benediction. I'm here in a mood that I want to give you all a benediction. So this one came forward and that one came forward and that one came forward. And then Mukunda came forward. So when Mukunda came forward, Lord Chaitanya said, do you remember the time when you were attacked? Mukunda was praising the Lord. By your mercy, you've taken care of me, so many things. And Lord Chaitanya said, he pointed out, do you remember the time when you were attacked and you went and you took your family to the edge of the river and there was no boats? He said, yes, and I was praying so much. And by your mercy, you saved me. He said, do you know that I was that boatman? I was that boatman that came to take you across. And there was other stories of someone else who had a fever, and the Lord, and it appeared like the doctor cured the fever, but Lord Chaitanya cured the fever. So he's there. He's there in our lives all the time. But unless we keep our eyes open and our ears open to see his mercy in our life and to hear, sometimes we hear from the guy next to you. You hear, he gives you some good advice, you know? Sometimes you hear some good advice from your teachers. I'm sure you hear that a lot, right? And sometimes, you know, you get some advice from a stranger. Do you know that one time Srila Prabhupada, he was in Delhi? He was in Delhi and he was distributing magazines. And it was very hard for me. Prabhupada had to write the article. He had to print the magazine. He had to figure out the money for the magazine. So many things. And then he had to sell all the magazines so that he could print some more magazines. Anyway, one time he was, and it was really hot. He was selling magazines and this and that. And one man, just a random man, you could say, a random man came and said, you know, Swamiji, if you would print books, they would have more effect. Because a magazine, they're going to look at it and then they're going to, you know, toss the magazine. But if you would print books, they'd have more effect. People would keep them more. They'd be passed around more, you know. They'd have more value spiritually and materially, you know. And Prabhupada took that as an instruction, as a instruction from Krishna. Krishna's telling me through this man, he's directing that man to come to me and tell me I should print books. So then he started making small booklets, Easy Journey to Other Planets, etc., etc., etc. So he had his eyes open and his ears open to see who was coming in. Thanks so much. Have a happy summer. Can't wait to see you again next year. Unless, of course, you come during the summer, too. Okay, good. You guys have to stay. Well, Malini's anxious to share something very important.
One time, my cat got lost.
Your cat got lost?
Twice.
Twice?
And she was gone for, like, close to an hour. But in the first one, and then in both of them, I was praying to Krishna, and like a few minutes after she came back.
And you were praying to Krishna and she came back. That's very nice.
And it is Krishna.
Right. But here's a question. Sometimes we get challenged. Here's a question that we don't want, we also want to add this part, because there's two parts of this formula. Pray to Krishna for help and realize and see Krishna's help. And sometimes a person might pray to Krishna, please save my, you know, oftentimes we hear little announcements, this person's in the hospital, or that lady today who just broke her back, that's really painful, really painful. Her whole life is going to be changed from that. And so we might pray to Krishna, please help cure this disease of my mother or father, or this or that. And it might not happen that they get cured. So then what? Then what are we going to do? Then what are we going to think? Are we going to think Krishna didn't hear my prayer? We could think that. But to actually understand that Krishna sometimes answers prayers in a different way than we expect, that's important to remember. Sometimes Krishna answers our prayers in different ways than we would want it to be. We're praying, let me do good on the test. Or we're praying for our cat to come home. Or we're praying for our parents' good health or whatever. And it might not come out exactly according to our prayer. But then we have to have keep our eyes open and our ears open and have faith in Krishna. He has a plan. He has a plan for the cat. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for my parents. He has a plan for this or that. And the plan is for my good. It might not appear right now that it's going to be good, but he has a plan for my good. Somehow or other, his plan. You know what his plan is? How can I bring this nice little living entity closer to me? Food or by love? How can I bring, so let's just theoretically say a person loses their dog. Okay, we'll take it away from you. A person loses their dog and they're praying to Krishna, please bring my dog back. And somehow or other the dog doesn't come back. And somehow or other we could see, oh, I'm sorry that the dog didn't come back, but at least he got some prasadam while he was here, so he's made a lot of progress, right? And he's going to get a human life. And perhaps I was a little too distracted taking care of the dog, and maybe I could put my attention on doing some service for my mother's deities. You know, there's different ways to look at it. It's all about perspective, what our perspective, how we're looking at things. So here's one, another little tip. When there's something that's hard for you to figure out, why is it happening like this? We could always ask somebody. And this is, again, what Subhadra was saying, the rail of the guru, the teacher. The guru might be a formal personality, or the guru might be the person next to you, the teacher, or the principal, or whomever, who might be able to guide. So don't be afraid to ask for, can you help me figure this out? This is really bothering me. I can't figure it out. This is what Lord Brahma did. Lord Brahma, he couldn't figure out what his purpose is, where he came from, or that he tried by his own endeavor, but one's own endeavor isn't sufficient. We have to pray for the mercy of the Lord to be able to understand him properly. And that's, as the story goes on, that's the situation of Brahma. Any other comments or questions or discussions or things that you'd like to bring up? Okay, so it's exit time for the guys. Anyone else have comments or questions or clarifications? Anyway, thank you for tolerating this Bhagavatam class, and have a great summer. And Jai Shri. Oh, yes, Prabhu, thank you, sorry. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji, for the beautiful class. Yeah, I was just stuck on the image of Lord Brahma sitting on this lotus flower and trying to figure out his source. And the courage it must have taken to, as you're saying, yeah, to go down this pipe. And I was just so, and not knowing what, you know, what that would lead to, whether he would come back up the pipe. I was just thinking about all that, that I would have that courage to go down a pipe, you know, like a one way, like a tunnel. So similarly, the path of, you know, self-realization is, in one way, it's like that. We don't know what we are, you know, embarking on, but then thanks to, you know, the scriptures and the gurus and the sadhus, you know, we get, you know, some indications along the way. So I was just thinking that it's a courageous walk.
It's,
you know, down this path of, yeah, self-realization.
Very nicely put. Right. It's a courageous walk. Yes, it's true. It's true. But by dint of the acharyas, the previous acharyas, I was thinking like in relation to Rupa Goswami and the previous acharyas, they're giving us the guideposts, you know, nectar of instruction, nectar of Srila Prabhupada's nectar of devotion. They're giving us the guideposts. Make sure you keep in between these posts, these restrictions, and then your path will be smooth. And yeah, very nice. Thank you. So actually, you know what? Now I just remembered one point that I wanted to make when they were all here, so I'll tell you guys. This section of the Bhagavatam, the creation, it's a very complicated, very philosophical, very difficult to understand and digest part of the Bhagavatam. And so sometimes we might think, yeah, let's get on, let's go on to some stories and this and that, or the 10th canto, we might think Krishna's pastimes are so much easier to understand, why don't we just focus on them, because at least we can grasp a point or two in there. But Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that these pastimes of creation are fundamental. They're fundamental for us. And actually he says, he explains, they're easier to understand than Krishna's Leela. They're easier to understand than Krishna's Leela because the pastimes of creation are very direct. You know, the expansion did this and the that did that. They're very direct. But Krishna's Leela, he's playing like a young boy, and it's very easy to think, oh yeah, he's just like me, or he's that, or he's this or that. Very easy to misunderstand Krishna's Leela. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is saying that we need to hear over and over and over again about these pastimes of creation to get a foundational principle of the potency of the Lord, so that we have that understanding, or to the best of our ability to understand, how the Lord is so potent that he can create universes and a whole system of management and this and that as a side affair. That's not even his whole meditation. That's a side affair, you know? His meditation is on his leelas and his pastimes. That's how potent our Lord is. But again, the point is that foundational principle of understanding the potency of the Lord is very, very important, so that when we do come to the 10th canto pastimes, we have a strong foundation of the potency of Krishna and not misunderstand his activities as insignificant or whatever. Anyway, thank you very kindly for your attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.